Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this season, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Heroes Unlimited to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Heroes Unlimited Revised 2nd Edition, the second printing from December 1998. Today we're discussing page 334 of Heroes Unlimited. Today we are in the magic section, we're in the spell list, and we are beginning level 10 spells. These are big, big spells. We're in the home stretch now. There are only 15 levels of spells, and the high levels of spells are not well populated. For example, there are only 5 level 10 spells. These spells represent massive attainments of arcane power, spell levels many characters never achieve, and they deserve to be compensated accordingly. I'm sorry, did you think this was a gaming podcast? I'm here to talk about labor rights, albeit the labor rights of wizards. But before we get into that, first of all, half of this page is not spells at all. It's a giant illustration. You can find it on the Instagram. I'm only going to talk about it briefly, but I bring it up because it is acceptable. I've complained about the art in this section. A very low bar has been set, and this illustration, you know, casually steps over that very low bar. It's a perfectly nice, well-drawn illustration of a man who's got this kind of disc of magical power passing over his body. It's about at his hip level at the moment captured in the illustration, and it's replacing what looked to be his street clothes. He's wearing some kind of slacks, maybe, but definitely like civvies on his bottom half below the disc. But then above the disc, he's in his superhero outfit, and it is a superhero outfit. You can tell because of the fancy gloves and the mask and the anatomically suspect abs. It's a nice dynamic illustration. Well done. It looks like a superhero, not like a wizard from another game line. Nothing here particularly says wizard to me, but it illustrates, plausibly, a spell that is on this page, barely. Metamorphosis colon superior. This is a high-level metamorphosis spell that allows you to transform into any other kind of creature. Another person, an animal, a monster, an insect. Although, you know, if this image is meant to illustrate this spell, then what this guy's doing in a very dubious crime-fighting move is jumping into the fray by spending 100 goddamn potential psychic energy points to put his superhero clothes on. This would be rather like a hardware weapons character charging into battle with his signature intimidation tactic, emptying the entire clip of his machine gun into the air. Impressive, yes, somewhat wasteful. Kind of getting things off on the wrong foot. But anyway, good decision or not, this is a thing you could do with this spell. The illustration does illustrate a thing that is on this page, so by God, I'll take it. Given the competition in this section, presto changeo, the mystical clothes horse is okay by me. However, here's a wizard who's really not using his PPE to full effectiveness. He's not using it to full advantage. This page offers a much better return on investment for a wizard fortunate enough to have 10th level spells, and that opportunity comes with the spell Dimensional Pocket. Now, this seems innocuous at first. It's basically a spell for creating a bag of holding, and it's not even a great bag of holding. If you spend 30 PPE on it, then it lasts an hour per caster level, so just long enough to kind of like sneak something in somewhere, get something past security, you know. Or if you spend 140 PPE, then you create a long-term dimensional pocket. And even this bag of holding, though, lasts 6 months per level of experience. So suppose you are level 6, you can make one that lasts for 3 years, which, according to the rules, is about as long-lived a bag of holding as you can find on the open market, like available for sale, as opposed to wizards' personal magical pockets and stuff. This thing about selling bags of holding turns out to be really important, because, you know, in a world starved for bags of holding, the shitty bag maker is king. Even though you can only make a bag of holding that is a temporary magic item that lasts like 3 years if you're 6th level, that bag will have a retail price, it says here, of, quote, 90,000 to a half million gold. Now, we'll assume that's an editing issue, and we'll use the usual highly convenient convention that a gold piece equals a credit in rifts equals one US American dollar, whatever year we're playing in. So in this case, that's $1998. That's a ton of money. I mean, it says here the top end of what's available for sale is a bag with a 3-year life, and apparently those sell for $500,000. Now, I know what you're thinking if you're playing or contemplating playing a wizard. $500,000? My financial troubles are over. I can finally pay off this goddamn tower. I can start wearing really fancy robes, like Ric Flair. Not so fast. Bags of holding may sell for $500,000, but this is where the plight of the worker comes in. The spell description says, quote, "The retail cost for such a bag can range from 90,000 to a half million gold. However, the maker of the magic bag seldom gets more than 20%. This is the dumbest thing on this page for a number of reasons. Number one, it's just weird for there to be a market from bags of holding at all. Like, in a world where people don't even believe magic exists, where very few people know about it, it's weird that there even is a going rate for bags of holding, especially because this is a 10th level spell. Knowing how to cast a first level spell is exceedingly rare, like rare to the point of being a legend, you know, or a rare superpower ability. It's like being an alien or having a mecha in the world of Heroes Unlimited. You know, you might see it on the news, but this is not a common occurrence. Being able to cast a 10th level spell is vanishingly rare. And knowing this particular 10th level spell, it's kind of a seller's market. Speaking of, this is the second reason this is the dumbest thing on this page. Who the fuck are these middlemen, and where did they find the balls to go to a wizard who can cast 10th level spells and say, oh yeah, I can help you get that priceless artifact off your hands. I only want to take, let's say, an 80% cut. I mean, this is a very copacetic working relationship. You're a master of cosmic forces. I'm an entrepreneur. You know, you have the very difficult job of bending reality to your whim to create priceless objects of vast rarity. I have the equally difficult job of finding a person who might want to buy a magical artifact. You know, I didn't spend years in wizard school, but I've got people skills. I've got to cold call potential clients who might be interested in a priceless object and say, hey, can I sell you this thing? So it's only fair that I take 80 cents off the dollar. I'm not saying this shithead doesn't exist in the real world and surely in the world of Heroes Unlimited. No society in reality or fiction is free of this shithead. However, normally this shithead knows how to pick his marks. To go to a wizard who can cast this spell, like, okay, to research this spell yourself, using the self-research rules where you just get to straight up pick a spell when you level, you gotta be 10th level. That's after the end of most superhero campaigns. So like, whatever your climax of a years-long superhero campaign would be, where you like, I don't know, put Galactus on trial, or fight a cosmic war against the Shi'ar Empire, or seal Cthulhu in the depths of the sea for another millennium. We're talking about like your Doctor Strange or your Doctor Fate character. After he's done that, he then goes home and he gets a call from this shithead saying, hey, are you interested in having me resell your magic artifacts? I only want 80 cents on the dollar. That's some fucking balls. Especially because, you know, what does a middleman do? Find leads, develop and maintain relationships, maybe warehouse things securely so you can wait for the right buyer to come around. These are all things that wizards have a spell for. And I mean, all wizards are pompous assholes, but especially a player character wizard will never take this deal. Honestly, as a GM, the best value I could get out of this rule in this spell is to play the shithead NPC just trying to pitch this to a player character wizard with this 10th level spell, and no doubt an arsenal of other magical techniques to blast the shit out of a quote-unquote entrepreneur trying to exploit him in this way. 80 cents on the dollar. This isn't fucking Uber. I'm a wizard. What are you thinking? Anyway, all that notwithstanding, and the dumbest thing I think is that wizards are expected to take such a bad deal here. But even so, if you're interested in having a Heroes Unlimited character, and particularly a wizard, make a lot of money, this is the spell for you. Because making these bags of holding, even at low level, like as soon as you can get this spell, is vastly profitable. It only costs 140 PPE, which is a lot, but given that you're doing it like in the comfort of your own home, on a day when you don't have any superheroing business to attend to, you know, on your day off from watchtower duty or whatever, if you got the 140 PPE, well, what else are you going to use it for? Changing clothes? Like this asshole on the bottom of the page? No. Make a bag of holding, send it off to your shithead middleman, collect that cash, especially because other character classes often need downtime, as we've often discussed. Hardware characters, other magic characters who need to go study spells with their ancient masters, even psychic characters without advanced trance will, from time to time, need to like just take a day to recover, not to mention healing times, right? If you don't have any kind of supernatural healing in the group, sometimes you'll need to take a day, wait for people to heal up. You can easily create a bag of holding every other day, assuming that like this really diminishes your PPE resources and you really gotta even meditate to recharge, even if you're doing it inefficiently like that, rather than visiting the zoo or chilling with your mice. Even if you're just meditating and regaining PPE the slow way, you can easily make one of these every other day. And even if you can only sell it for dollars, that's an $18,000 profit. In today's dollars, that would be $36,000. So, you know, assume this takes you 2 days. If all you do is make bags of holding, you're clearing like $18,000 a day, at least until you saturate the market. And it's not like you got a lot of competition out there. If the market will bear it, we're talking about an income of $2.8 million per year if you just devote your magical powers to creating bags of holding. That's in 2018 dollars. $2.8 million a year is not too shabby, especially given you might have to take almost a year of downtime. Like, while those other asshole wizards who don't understand finance and economics, don't know the value of money, are off on a mountaintop somewhere contemplating their navels, sucking up to their magical senseis trying to learn anti-magic cloud or whatever, you can spend that same time just in your magical workshop cranking out these bags of holding They're going to come back with their spell, sure. Anti-magic cloud, the reward for spending 8 months gaining enlightenment. Whoop-de-doo. You're going to have like $2 million in the bank. No spell can accomplish what you can accomplish with $2 million goddamn dollars, especially the spells in this section. So this could really be a great living for your wizard player character or NPC, but it's still wrong. This income is still wrong. It's like professional athletes who, they make a lot of money, sure. And sometimes it seems crass or it seems ungrateful for people to complain. But the fact is, if the people above you who aren't doing the work are taking the lion's share of the profit and you're left with a fraction of the value of your labor, that is wrong. Wizards of the world, unite. Wizards should not and cannot continue to stand for this. If you're one of the rare people in the world, one of those exceptional human beings who are enough of a cosmic grade asshole to cast 10th level spells, you've got an ego that can tear through time and space itself, and you're going to spend your days cramped up in a workshop sewing leather bags for the military or drug smugglers or whoever. Your labor has value and you deserve to be compensated. I'm just here to stand up for these assholes against the other assholes. Anyway, if you've found my strident declarations about wizard labor rights off-putting, join me next time for a humbler episode where we discuss something I earnestly have no fucking clue about on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big chunk for your binging convenience. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. It is Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. And if you like my tiny little podcast, consider giving me a tiny bit of money at ko-fi.com/megadumb. That is ko-fi.com/megadumb. MDC, Palladium Books, Heroes Unlimited, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This season's theme song is To the Top by Midair Machine, whose work you can find at freemusicarchive.org/music/askagain. That's ask again, two words with a space in between. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.